As I read the Gospel of Matthew, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when she had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And when Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but they had no marital relations with her until she bore a son, and she named him Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God around us. I'm just going to preach it from here because I don't have another move in me. This is that fourth Sunday of Advent. And we're going to talk about or explore in some ways what it means in this story we read from Matthew. And as I read it, I remembered a story that a friend told me years ago. He went for his big summer vacation, and this was in the South, and they would always rent a beach house. Irwin, that's of your tradition, and you'd invite any relative who wanted to come. And my friend was going with his brother and all sorts of grandchildren, and the kids had some money, and they went out to the boardwalk, and they bought stuff, and they came back with these rubber bracelets that were really brightly colored, and they had embedded them WWJD. And my friend was a little surprised because no one in that family went to church, not even Christmas. And he said to the kids, "Why did you buy those bracelets?" They go, "Because we like the colors." And he said, "Do you see these initials?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Do you know what it means? What would Jesus do?" And they said, "We don't care. We just liked them." And it made me think about those bracelets. And I did a little bit of research, and I found they kind of came to be in about 1985. There was a group of 35 youth group kids in Michigan, Holland, Michigan, and they wanted to make that question, "What would Jesus do?" central to their lives. And they kind of went to their youth leader, Jamie, who had been teaching them from a book called Walking in the Steps of Jesus. It was written 100 years before that, but she had made it real, and they said, "We really want to live out this central question, what would Jesus do? But we're afraid we're going to forget it. How can you help us remember to put that in front of our thoughts, every decision we make?" So the youth pastor, Jamie, really thought about that. And she went to a friend from church who worked at a company called Lesko Corp. And Lesko Corp was a group that did branding. They made all sorts of things. And the youth pastor decided, you know, a T-shirt, a pen, a pencil, a bumper sticker, those will kind of get lost. I want something more immediate. And in that day, there was a craze making friendship bracelets. They would weave them with little pieces of twine. And she thought, how about a bracelet? How about a rubber bracelet? And we'll put WWJD, what would Jesus do? She had no idea how amazing that idea would be. She had no idea financially how important that idea would be. She didn't get any rights from this. And the reports say that 16 to 20 million bracelets have been made. But she made it so her kids could keep those thoughts in front of them. And even in the light of 16 million bracelets and copyright laws, I'm more interested in those 35 kids who wanted to keep that word, that phrase in front of them. And you know, in some ways, we do want a phrase, something easy that we can manage to make our faith immediate and maybe more manageable. I don't think we have to go to a bracelet or discover something new. We kind of have those words within our tradition. One of them is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. If you have to memorize something, that's a pretty good one to have on your heart. Maybe not your wrist, but have it embedded on who you are. God is with us. And so I think of the story that we enter today. Did you notice it's kind of a cut and dry version of the story? I mean, there's no angel coming to Mary. There's no creche scene. There's no going to Bethlehem. It's all Jesus is born. And that's because the people who were hearing the story already knew the details. What was more important to them was about the Holy Spirit and where did Jesus come from? How was he born divine and yet human? But what we do have in the story that we don't get in the other Gospels is Joseph. And we just don't pay a lot of attention to Joseph. I remember back in my first church when we had Christmas pageants, kids could dress as they wanted. So you'd have like a half dozen to 20 Marys. You'd have a number of angels. You'd have some cows and shepherds, even though they're not in the story. I mean, cows and sheep, even though they're not in the story. One year we had a Herod. I think he just wanted to carry a big sword into church. And he had told his mother, you know, he, you know, helped cut off the head of John the Baptist. So the mother had to say, okay. The reason, but one year we actually had a Joseph. I was amazed. You know, he came in his bathrobe. Kind of broke my heart later when his mother told me really he wanted to be a wise man, but he forgot his present. And I do admit somehow Joseph kind of gets lost. And that is too bad because I think Joseph just has some really great qualities about him. I mean, think about this. Joseph was about to be married, and he knew that his wife was pregnant. I suspect it showed a bit. Who knows? And in that day, a marriage was a little bit different. You were engaged or betrothed to someone probably when you were an infant or when you were a toddler. And then you were engaged for 1 year. Up to that 1 year, you could kind of change your plans if the match didn't look right. But once you were engaged, it was legally like you were married. If you wanted to break off the engagement, you actually had to have a divorce. If a woman died, or the man she's going to marry died during that year long, she was considered a widow. It was very serious. So when Joseph realizes Mary is pregnant and he had nothing to do with it, he indeed is very concerned. And you wonder, what would he do? You know, if he went and talked to people like at coffee hour at the temple or in the marketplace, they would probably say, do what the Bible says. And they would have quoted Deuteronomy 2, where it says, if a woman is caught in adultery, stone her to death. I think that one would have come off their tongues quite easily. But that is not what Joseph decides to do. Joseph does something very different. And I got a new way of looking at Joseph from Fred Craddock, who's a pastor that has passed just a couple of years ago. And Fred Craddock was preaching about this sermon on a fourth Advent like this. And he reflected that Joseph is a really good man. He raises himself to the point of being remembered even from that day on. What we know about Joseph is he loves the Bible and he knows his Bible all the way through. But he reads his Bible through a certain kind of lens, the lens of the character and the nature of God, who is loving and kind. Therefore, he will not harm her. He will not abuse Mary. He will not expose her or shame her or ridicule her or do something that will demean her value, her dignity, her worth. There's not going to be any of that stoning and judgment for him. Joseph decides he will protect Mary. And where does he get that from? Does he get it from the Bible? He certainly isn't getting it from the passage I just quoted to you. I'll tell you where in the Bible it says that. It says it when you read the stories in between the lines, that the very nature and character of God is that of love and grace. And Craddock says, I'm amazed that Joseph was the first person in the New Testament who learned how to read the Bible correctly. Like Joseph, we too read the Bible through the glasses, through the spectacles of grace and goodness and the love of God. So if we are reading the Bible and you find justification for abusing or humiliating or disgracing or harming or hurting someone, especially if it makes you feel a little better about yourself, you are absolutely, I am absolutely wrong. Joseph is reading the Bible through the love and grace of God. And he decides he's going to let her go quietly. And you know, he does this all before the angel ever enters the story. To me, that is amazing. He figures this out on his own. And he also doesn't say anything when the angel comes, talks with him. He has a strong and silent yes. And that angel comes to Joseph in a dream and says, I want you to marry Mary. Just go ahead and do it. I want you to take care of her because I've chosen her to raise this baby. And Joseph says with his life, I will raise this baby. I will feed this baby. I will care for this mother, and I will care for this child. And Fred Craddock says, Christmas for me has already started, even if it's the fourth Sunday in Advent, because I know when Jesus is born, this man Joseph will teach him and raise him and care for him and teach him about Scripture and take him to the synagogue and teach him to be a carpenter, teach him lessons on how to be a good and a righteous man, how to see people through that lens of grace and love. And when you have someone like that in your community, it's really Christmas. You only need one person in the all of us to say, I will do what is right, and then I believe it really is Christmas. For when we read the scriptures, and we read and know the human condition, and we look at that with the lens of love and grace, then of course it's Christmas this day and every day. See, I think Joseph learned to look at the world through that sense of God is with us. God is in the midst of us. Emmanuel, God is with us. So I don't have a little bracelet for you. I want you to let Emmanuel, God with us, embed itself in your heart, in your minds, in your words. Because God who is with us will transform us from the inside out. That is the good and amazing news of Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen.